Hello and welcome to the Amaze podcast, where we talk to businesses large and small, experts in subjects across the spectrum of business, entrepreneurialism, tech, innovation, investment and finance. I'm Jake Shaw, your host. If you'd like to learn more about Amaze, please go to www.amaze.com. Today I'm joined by Mike Berners-Lee. Mike is a greenhouse gas expert. He's a professor at Lancashire University. He's author of How Bad Are Bananas? The Burning Question and his book There Is No Planet B. Both your parents were mathematicians and computer scientists. You have brothers and sisters who are in computer science. I should imagine that University Challenge and Trivial Pursuit at Christmas at your house was pretty competitive.
Let's just say there was quite a bit of maths going around in our family.
I suppose becoming a professor was the basic qualification that one had to have in the Berners-Lee family.
It happened to me totally by surprise, actually. I came in through the back door. I just sort of started doing this carbon stuff. I realised climate change was a big deal. Started trying to help businesses work their way through it. Ended up writing some academic papers one way or another. Getting into the university and becoming a professor was kind of an accident.
You also have a consultancy that deals with this for companies, don't you?
You know, I come at this from a really practical perspective. Climate change is a huge deal that needs sorting out. And I started off just trying to help companies. And it turned out that in order to do that, you needed to do some research. And so I do a mixture of things. I do bits of research and stuff with companies, just trying to help them to really get on top of the climate crisis. And I write books to try and just get a wide understanding of really what's going on. Where does carbon come from in the world? How does climate change fit in, you know, all the wider things that are going on for humanity? And most importantly, what can all of us do to try and make the world a bit better?
So you've written several books, as you said. I suppose your most broad-ranging one is There Is No Planet B, which is a great title. The question I've got for you from one of the titles, Mike, is how bad are bananas?
Well, there's good news in lots of my books. So bananas turn out to be pretty good from a carbon perspective, because although they typically come from the other side of the world, they come on a boat, which is about 100 times more carbon friendly than putting them on an aeroplane. So we can chill out about bananas any time of year, oranges any time of year, apples, even if they've come from New Zealand, because they've come on a boat.
With COVID, obviously people are travelling a lot less, and a lot of the research says that travelling overseas on aeroplanes is going to become a far less prevalent thing. So with that in mind, and with COVID causing people to use delivery systems and commute less, can we stop worrying about that now?
COVID has probably brought humanity about 6 weeks of extra time on climate change through a reduction in our carbon footprint, not least through lack of flying. So, you know, moving forwards, obviously, we need to transition into a way of doing life that is dramatically more carbon friendly than what we've got at the moment. And the good news is that we've got nearly all the technologies more or less in place to be able to generate all our energy through mainly solar power, but also wind, transmit it to everywhere, decarbonize all our land transport. But we do actually have a bit of a problem with flying specifically, because we don't yet know how to put a passenger aeroplane on a flight across the Atlantic or the Pacific, say, you know, a long-haul flight, without burning through something like 100 tons of liquid hydrocarbon, or fossil fuel, probably. And that, in turn, turns itself into about four times that weight of carbon dioxide. And because it all happens at altitude, that makes it about twice as bad, again, because a whole lot of high-altitude factors kick in. So we do have a problem with flying, and there's kind of a hard reality that whilst the transition to the low-carbon world, if we do it right, it's an opportunity to just live better and enjoy life more while we're at it. But specifically in terms of flying, there just isn't any getting around the fact that we need to fly a bit less, quite a bit less. Doesn't mean we can never fly, but we need to get used to the idea that we only fly for really good reasons.
Weekend city breaks in Barcelona ain't really it, is it?
That's absolutely right. I mean, really special family holiday, or going off to see a long-lost relative get married or something, or, you know, maybe a really important business trip, that's okay. Just to do it, you know, on a regular basis, or just for a weekend away or something like that, I think we've got to get our heads around that. That kind of stuff is going to have to stop.
Thinking about that, I mean, a lot of the listeners to this podcast are people who are running small businesses, sole traders and stuff like that. And from what we know is, you know, there are individuals, they're concerned about making sure that they leave a nice planet for their children and stuff like that. So, I mean, what's the commercial incentive for an SME to be more sustainable?
Businesses are coming to me and to my business saying, look, how can we really get on top of this stuff? Because, you know, for a variety of reasons, primarily they're coming to us now saying, look, we care about this. We want to feel proud of the business that we run. And they're saying, you know what? Our staff care about this stuff. And we want our staff to feel really proud of the business when they go to work. And increasingly, companies are saying, look, there's a place in the market for a company in our industry that really gets it and whose customers want a business that really gets it. Great example of this is we've been working with BrewDog, and they really get this stuff. Actually, they read No Planet B and picked up the phone and said, come on, we've got a climate emergency. You know, what can we do? And they're taking it right across everything they do, how they brew their beer, how they talk to their customers, what they write on their beer cans. They're planting trees up in Scotland to take carbon back out of the air. They're really getting it, and they're making it a very exciting proposition. And, you know, they're going to sell a ton more beer as a result. They're not doing it just to sell more beer at all, but because they're doing it with a real commitment and vigor, and they mean it and they're honest about it, they're going to end up selling a ton more beer.
So there is that thing that businesses now have to be authentic, transparent and truthful, being more climate aware and taking steps to reduce your carbon footprint and being sustainable actually fits into that. How can businesses better manage their carbon footprint?
In terms of, I'm going to widen that question out a bit and say, how can businesses respond to climate change? Because part of that, a big part of that, but not all of it, a big part of it is what you do with your carbon footprint. And so the first thing to do is to try and get a good enough understanding of what it is. And it's not just about the carbon that comes out of your factory chimney, or the carbon that lies behind your electricity and your energy use, or the carbon that comes out the exhaust pipes of your vehicles. It's also about the carbon that is in the supply chains of every single thing that you buy. So if you buy products in, you know, they're made in factories or grown on farms or something, and there's carbon associated with all of that. So it's the first step, to try and get a good enough understanding of that. It doesn't need to be perfect, but it needs to be good enough. And then start picking your battles. Understand what the hotspots are, start picking your battles. And it'll be different for every business. But for example, if your business involves a lot of driving vehicles around, then the questions are things like, you know, do we have to do quite so much driving? When we do that driving, what's the best kind of vehicle to be driving? And this is a simple thing for anyone who gets involved in driving. If you just drive more sympathetically, even a bit slower takes a lot of the carbon out. And just being a bit less harsh on the brakes takes quite a bit of carbon out. So there are some things we can all do that just don't even require any planning. We do them instantly.
Driving at a more considered pace, probably better for yourself, isn't it?
The benefits are your vehicle will last longer, you'll become less stressed, you'll be safer, and you save quite a bit of money on your fuel as well. So there's kind of all the different benefits from it. It really stacks up.
So that's really great for small businesses, you say, with vehicles, but there is the inherent carbon footprint of the manufacturer of that vehicle. How can companies mitigate that?
Well, typically the carbon footprint of driving is something like a third of it is boils down to the fact that every few hundred thousand miles, you've got to manufacture a new vehicle. It makes sense to look after vehicles and keep them on the road for a relatively long time. In the long run, we need to electrify all our road transport, but you shouldn't switch to an electric vehicle until the time comes that your vehicle has really come to the end of its effective life.
So no sort of yearly turnover of vehicles, try and keep them until they're not efficient anymore.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
That's great advice for people. Talking about the individual, me, as I run a small business, how can I make things better? So for instance, I used to make 2-3 trips a month, and I'd get a train into London and I'd get on the tube and all that sort of business. I'm not doing it anymore. What else can I do that is making me more sustainable and more carbon neutral?
So first of all, I'd say about your train travel, you can probably chill out about your train travel a bit. It's the most carbon friendly form of land transport after cycling and walking. But what else can you do? Well, for a business like yours, what every business should ask, what's the output of our business? What do we offer? You know, you do podcasts and you do media and you communicate with people and you help people to understand. So a huge question, probably the most important question for you to be asking is, you know, what kind of messages am I sending out? Am I am I helping the people who listen to my stuff to understand the difference between fact and fiction, to get their heads around the climate crisis and other environmental crises? Am I doing my bit to enable democracies to function well? So, one of the things we've been doing recently, for example, we've been assessing some tech giants to try and understand the extent to which they are pushing for a better world. And if you get a company like Facebook, example, actually, you know what? Its carbon footprint doesn't matter all that much compared to the influence that it might have, either positive or negative, on the way that democracies are functioning and the way that people are enabled to sift fact from fiction.
Let's think about somebody who's running a building company and they're driving and they've got people, they've got the van and all that sort of thing. How can they make themselves as an individual more sustainable?
The UK's housing stock is some of the most energy inefficient in Europe. So questions about, are you enabling and encouraging people to improve their housing, to increase the insulation, cut out the drafts, put double glazing in, use sustainable materials? Are you helping people to have energy systems and heating systems that are carbon friendly? There's a stack of work to be done there, and there's huge employment and commercial opportunities out of the transition of our housing stock into something that is fit for the 21st century. I mean, it's going to be a huge growth opportunity. So I'd say to anybody involved in the construction industry, really get your head around what the needs of the future are going to be in a world that's getting on top of climate change.
But do you think innovation in sustainable and green technology is speeding up?
There's plenty of innovation. There's fast-paced innovation going on in sustainable technologies, energy generation, energy deployment, how the built environment, all of that is moving apace. And I think, for example, we've got a family friend who's just starting out a career as an electrician. Household electrics are going to be so complex going forwards, with questions about where the energy comes from. Does it come from solar panels? Can you fit a heat pump? If you fit a heat pump and solar panels, should you be having heat batteries in the house or electric batteries in the house? And exactly how the heating and lighting system be working? I mean, it's a really getting it right now is an incredibly interesting and complex challenge. And then building it, there's two sides to it. There's one is the kind of, the technology of the building materials and the construction design. And the other is the quality with which the building is actually done. So, have the people who've been putting in the insulation, have they actually really taken care to make sure that the insulation gets right into the hardest to reach corners so that the whole building really is heat proof?
Mike, what two bits of advice that you could give to somebody running a small business right now that, in your view, would make them significantly more sustainable? And if there's some innovation in there, I'd like to hear about that too.
The first thing is about managing your carbon footprint. So it's understand what the big deals are in your carbon footprint. I've written a book about this. If you look in How Bad Are Bananas, the information is there for you, and there's a quick guide to it, for example. But just try and understand what the hotspots are, and then just ask yourself the question, what can I do to cut those down? And I think for most people, it'll be fairly simple to find, at least some good answers. And the second thing to ask is, well, what about what we do as a business? What about our product offering or the goods and services that we provide? How can we make sure that they are consistent with a world that is moving towards low carbon? And, whether you're in the construction industry or making goods or just providing any kind of service, there's pretty well always a way that you can offer that, which is lower carbon.
So we're actually looking forward to a world where there is going to be significant opportunity to become sustainable. So it's a good idea, is it not, that everybody gets on board with creating sustainable technology?
It really is. My business is getting phone calls all the time from companies who say, we want to be at the lead of our industry. Increasingly, companies are spotting that there are customers out there who are yearning for brands that they can really trust and feel good about. This is taking off. It wasn't like this 2 years ago, and it is like that now. So people who are sort of wondering whether their customers care enough, the answer is, if you thought they didn't care 2 years ago, that is probably changed.
Following COVID, and we've got Brexit coming up as well, to become a masters of that particular sector would be quite awesome, would it not?
Well, there's definitely first mover advantage or early mover advantage for sure.
Mike, where can people find you and your company? Because I'm sure that there will be listeners who'll be clamoring to get a hold of you.
Okay, so you can find my company at smallworldconsulting.co.uk. And you can find, if you get either of my books, How Bad Are Bananas? The Carbon Footprint of Everything, which is like a tour of carbon footprints, you can find my email address in that. And if you, or my other book, There's No Planet B, you can find my email address in that, or just look me up online or Mike Berners-Lee on Twitter, any of those.
Well, Mike Berners-Lee, thank you so much, and look forward to reading your books.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more podcasts like this, please go to www.amaze.com. And don't forget to like and share this podcast.